So thank you for tuning in to this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk. I'm Katie Keller, Publicity and Outreach Director with Wild Virginia, and I have my coffee ready because today we are going to unpack habitat connectivity. So I have Misty Bowes, the Executive Director of Wild Virginia. We're going to unpack some recent proposed legislation and try to answer some questions for folks who may not be familiar with the concept. So Misty, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Great. So before we dive into, something that just passed with the Virginia Senate, let's talk habitat connectivity in general. Tell us a little bit about the concept and why Wild Virginia started to get into this campaign.
Yeah, sure. So, the idea of keeping habitat connected for wildlife and for ecosystems is newer than I wish it was as a concept. It hasn't been around for a very long time. It kind of started with the island biogeography principle, where, when you look at an island and you see that it's isolated from other habitats, you get some very unusual species, you get some very rare species, you get very fragile species because they are very isolated. And so this, we've seen this on islands when, anything bad happens to them, it can be catastrophic. Like one species of rat, for instance, can decimate a bird population on an island. And that same principle kind of applies on land. We can look at the landscape and see where islands of habitat are being created by our activities, whether it's development or logging or building roads that fragment the landscape. We're essentially creating islands of habitat that are then, of course, more fragile. Those species don't have as much opportunity to find new mates and new genetic diversity. They're limited into where they can go to get food and shelter. So we have fragmented the landscape in such a profound way, being humans doing what humans do. And so what I love about, our work to protect habitat connectivity is we help to bring those pieces back together. We look at the linkages that could help species move more safely and get what they need. And a lot of it isn't even that hard. We just need to think about it through the lens of wildlife and what they're trying to do.
Sure. Yeah, it seems like such an intuitive concept. You want to make sure that because this little piece of our ecosystem is prevented from migrating, or again, like you said, finding mates, it's almost this butterfly effect where it's affecting, our whole existence almost.
Right.
So tell us a little bit, because I know that with habitat connectivity, obviously on land, that has to do with deer and, road development, sort of preventing those deer from crossing into different habitat, or obviously vehicle collisions is a huge piece of it. But tell us about some of the little critters that folks might not be so intuitive.
Sure. Yeah. So we obviously, when we're thinking about, human vehicle conflicts, we're often thinking about the big animals, deer and bear, that we see a lot and hit a lot on our roadways. But there's also just tons of little critters that have a problem with roads too. And they're often so tiny, it's hard to even survey for them. They get eaten before we can even do a survey and see what happened. So for instance, the Virginia Safe Wildlife Corridors Collaborative that Wild Virginia helps to run was looking last year at a couple sites in Virginia where these very small salamanders, every February and March in the cold, cold, dark morning, usually on a rainy night, go and do their annual migration across the busy roads. And we were finding, that they were getting hit by cars on these sites. And, surveys were tricky because it's dark and it's cold and it's raining. And of course, you got to get out there and be safe. But those sites are all over the state where little critters are doing annual migrations. And we may not even know. So what's really important is to have people letting us know where they see these places, and then we can begin to do some mitigation. So if you live in an area and you just happen to know of a place where salamanders are migrating, or you see tons of frogs at a certain time of year, or you know that turtles are very active, let us know, because that's the stuff that we need to have so that we can actually make mitigation efforts.
Sure. And, personally, I live on a road where we have an abundance of possums. Mm-hmm. And I know that, possums are carrying the little babies on their backs. And it's just, when there is a vehicle collision, you just don't know, again, that ripple effect or that butterfly effect, what it's going to be affecting. So let's unpack some of this recent legislation. First, I thought that we could start, I know that Wild Virginia did a lot of work last year and now this year, more recently this month. So let's unpack all of that, if you don't mind.
Sure. So, you know, last year, Wild Virginia and our partners, wonderful partners, Virginia Conservation Network for one, Wildlands Network, PEC, all worked together to put together a bill that would basically task the state of Virginia with looking at the landscape through the eyes of wildlife. And so what it does is task the state with creating what's called a Wildlife Corridor Action Plan. And again, just to remind folks, wildlife corridors are just the movement paths for wildlife. So this Wildlife Corridor Action Plan actually requires the state to say, okay, where are the major movement corridors for a host of wildlife? And then what can we do to help wildlife move more safely along those corridors? And what I really think is cool about this bill is it specifically calls on our Department of Transportation to look at wildlife movement patterns when they're planning their roads or reviewing or fixing old roads as well. So whenever they do an environmental review now, they have to think, okay, what can we do to make this a safer pathway for wildlife if this road does indeed intersect with one of those known wildlife corridors? And that's a big deal. And that's why we have so many conflicts, because we haven't thought about that in our planning before. And then it goes one step further as well. And it actually says, okay, if we know that there's wildlife corridors and we know that roads are intersecting with them. And so the bill actually says, okay, VDOT and DCR and DWR, all these agencies, please get together and come up with a list of priority projects that could really help mitigate those conflicts. So where would crossings make sense? Where do we need to install fencing or a crossing or an underpass to help wildlife get where they need to go safely? And it doesn't, unfortunately, fund those projects yet, but at least having the list of projects identified and the priority list of projects identified can help groups like ours at Wild Virginia then advocate to get those things done on the ground and try to find funds to get that work done.
Yeah, well, and that, you know, that's the first step in any sort of policy, just making the issue known and heard. And I know that with looking through a wildlife lens, that sort of is an implication of other issues, like us looking at land as a piece of property or some intangible concept that isn't sort of a living thing that sort of serves all of us in a bigger way. And, you know, one thing I love about this work is it does have bipartisan support, because, you know, folks either love wildlife, but they also don't want to hit things with their car. So I know that's another important piece of this, is having that support on both sides.
Yeah, we found, you know, legislators were ready for this bill, and that was great. That made my job really easy. We would walk in and start talking about this, and they'd say, "Oh my gosh, yes, you know, I've either hit a deer, or I've had a close call, or oh my gosh, my wife hit a bear," or, you know, we all have those stories because we do have such a problem here in Virginia. I was going to pull up the numbers. They're pretty startling. So in Virginia, we have over 60,000 deer related collisions every year. And that costs $533 million every year. So that's pretty significant. So if we don't have one of those stories, you're probably not driving. So we need to get a handle on it for sure.
Absolutely. Well, and so let's kind of back it up to the project off 64 around, I think it was exit 64 West 114, implementing the fencing there, and VDOT had a huge part in that. And there was something like a 98% success rate, which it was funneling, you know, deer and other critters, animals, bigger animals through the current underpass. So would you be able to lend a little bit of insight on that project and maybe how we can look at that success rate as a metric moving forward?
Yeah, that was a project done by Bridget Donaldson, who is a phenomenal researcher at VDOT. She works at their Transportation Research Council. And, you know, this is the perfect example of when we think about where wildlife are going and we plan for it, we can make a big difference. So she identified a hotspot for deer and bear crashes right there on 64, deer especially. And she did some camera trapping to make sure that that was indeed a spot where there were lots of deer crossing, and there were. And then she implemented very inexpensive fencing on both sides of the road, just a couple miles on each side of an already existing underpass. So it didn't cost much money at all. And by doing that, by giving the animals no choice but to use the underpass, they reduced, yeah, like 92% collisions over a 2-year study period. So that's just like an easy project, right? That's low-hanging fruit. We should be doing that today. on existing underpasses that have interspaced with roads. And we know from the work of the Virginia Safe Wildlife Corridors Collaborative that we can get a pretty good idea about where some of those hotspots are and where those existing underpasses are too. So I'm really excited that, you know, the bill that just passed last year can help kind of move that work along and make sure that that gets done, because the information's out there. Now we can just, you know, put it all together, put all the pieces and all the agencies together and really get some work done.
That's wonderful. I love, love, love this campaign that Wild Virginia has been working on, and a lot of your work too, Misty. So I thank you so much for it. But any closing thoughts that you'd love to leave our listeners with, what they can do or what they can stay tuned for?
Yeah. So right now, there is another bill this year, and it's actually making its way through the Virginia House of Representatives. It's already our House of Delegates, it's already passed the Senate last week. And what this bill would do is, we have a Wildlife Corridor Action Plan that's going to be finished next summer, and that's great. It's going to show us where those corridors are. It's going to show us where those conflict zones are. And what this next bill that we're trying to pass this year would do is say, wonderful, let's make sure those wildlife corridors are integrated into other state planning documents too. So it's not just VDOT and maybe some wildlife agencies thinking about this, but also, you know, the state forester. We're going to have, you know, VDOT's strategic plan will talk about wildlife corridors in the language. And this will ensure that, you know, everyone across the state is looking at the landscape through the eyes of wildlife, and then also speaking the same language about how to protect them. And it keeps the Wildlife Corridor Action Plan from being, you know, something that's just on a shelf to something that's really living in our state planning documentation across, you know, the years and across, you know, different administrations. We want to make sure that this is something that we plan for into the future. Because let's be honest, some of this stuff takes a while. So we need to make sure it's alive and something we can be all working towards for a while to come. So what people can do is they can make sure to contact their representatives. And we're actually going to link to that, I believe, in this podcast, right? So folks can go on. We've got all the phone numbers out there for you. We've got the email addresses out there for you. If you can reach out and let your representatives know that you care about this issue, this is the time to do it. The early part of February is when it's really important to reach out and let them know that this is an issue that you think is important, and try to get to them before they vote, which we believe is next Wednesday. And that would be, I think, February 10th. So hurry.
Wonderful. Yes, it takes a village, people. So contact your legislators. Stay tuned for future updates on this campaign. It's a super important campaign, and it's one that I love hearing about, Misty. So thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk.
Thanks for having me, Katie. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Wild Virginia Coffee Talk. For more information on our campaigns, please visit www.wildvirginia.org. Stay wild, Wild Virginians.